We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
And did what Swaggy P do. Teammates played great, and we came out with the victory, you know?
I'm just trying to really get my NBA 2K rating up.
I just can't take it. You know, it's 12:02 right now. If they want to fire me at 12:05, I'll go home and find something to do. I'll have a good day.
Welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, sponsored by DraftKings. It's Friday, December 28th, 2018. I'm Alex Perutha. Shannon McEwen is also here, and on the phone is Ken K-Train Kreitz.
All aboard.
This podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. Leave us a nice review. You can listen and download on the RotoWire website. Today we're going to talk about interesting free agents and our top three rookies for the next 3 years. But first, we are going to jump into some news with Adrian Wojnarowski and Brian Windhorst reporting that the Lakers expect LeBron to miss several games. The Lakers lost at Sacramento last night, 117-116. It was a last second.
Bogdan, baby.
It was a last second Bogdan Bogdanovic jumper to close the game out. So their next game is tonight, Friday, against the Clippers, and then they play again Sunday versus Sacramento. For DFS purposes, do you guys feel like Kuzma's a lock, or is it kind of just the young trio of Ball, Kuzma, Ingram?
All three of them for me. They all three had good games last night, and I expect that to carry on. And then you have Zubac. If JaVale continues to miss games, you've got Zubac that you can plug in, and Josh Hart deserves some consideration too on the DFS. And
I mean, 4,200 on DK.
Yeah, Josh Hart. He's the cheapest out of the bunch, and you know he played 33 minutes last night. So any of those guys are good plays. Even guys like Kentavious Caldwell Pope. You know, he played 28 minutes last night. So if Rondo and LeBron and JaVale continue to miss time, I mean, really, there's any one of those top five or six guys who are worthy of consideration.
What happened to all those KCP trade talk rumors that were flying around last week? I can't imagine LeBron's injury really changes the fact they want to dump him.
No, I don't think so. I don't know if he's playing like well enough to be traded anymore. Like for a while, there was like double digit points almost every single game. And now over the past five games, he's like 7 points a game, 28% from three.
No team who's acquiring KCP is getting him because they want KCP on their roster. They're just getting his contract. It's about what the Lakers package in that. Like, are they tossing in a couple second-round picks, you know, a heavily protected first-round pick? It's what they get aside. I mean, KCP is just an expiring contract that gets moved in a deal. It's not about him. You know, it's like when he was rumored to go to the Suns for Ariza. It's not like the Suns really needed or wanted KCP, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's only getting 22 minutes a game, and theoretically, this is a contending team. Very theoretically. So if he were to go to if you were trying to trade him to another contending team, it's like his value to them is probably only 20 minutes a game. And then, I don't know why you're trading for that contract then at that point.
Yeah.
But Ken, you have some news for us. Staying in California.
Yeah, well, a bevy of interesting games last night. Trailblazers outlast the Warriors in overtime. Frantic end of that game. Durant missing about a 12-footer, hit the front of the rim to not win it for the Warriors. And then the Rockets, their crazy spread it out, Harden, ISOs, offense completely befuddled my Celtics in Houston. So what I love is out west, there are now only four games separating the top 10 teams. Very entertaining. Guys, of the Kings, Spurs, and Grizzlies, who I think are 8, 9, 10 in the West standings, who makes the playoffs of those three, or who's most likely to?
I unfortunately think I might have to say the Spurs. Even though I was pretty down on the Spurs earlier in the year, they've improved a little bit. I like the Kings. Their young core is playing really well, but if you talk about like each team's, I guess, best players, LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan is about as good as Mike Conley and Marc Gasol. Probably not as good, but I worry about the health of Conley and Gasol, and the Kings are still a young team.
Yeah, the Spurs really found their footing here. They're 8-2 over the past 10. Of those three teams, they have the best point differential, which has improved dramatically over the past 10 games. They were in the negative prior to that, I believe. But it's got to be the Spurs. I mean, you got Popovich, DeRozan and Aldridge are all-star players. They have some feisty pieces around them. I don't think it's a good team. They're probably going to lose in the first round this year, which is crazy to think of for a Popovich-led team. But I have to go with the Spurs. I mean, even the Kings, as nice of a story as it's been, they have a negative 1.4 point differential, and I just don't see that team being able to hold off a veteran team like the Spurs, or even you've got Utah as well. I still think of the teams that are out of it right now, the Spurs and Utah are going to climb up and make the playoffs.
What do you think the Kings do at the trade deadline? You mentioned that they are young, right? Do they get some crazy, oh my gosh, we could make the playoffs and trade some youth? Do people want their youth? I mean, we already know Bagley and Cauley-Stein don't play well together. Would Stein be the guy? Would Cauley-Stein be the guy on the block?
I would think so. He Giles, Labissiere, it seems like one or two of those guys would move maybe for an upgraded piece. But it's got to be a younger player with upside or a sound, youngish veteran, no one that's over the hill. So, you know, even if it's a vet, it's got to be someone who's still like in their mid 20s. Can't be someone who's 30.
Not Vince Carter.
No. And it's got to be someone who's, you know, locked up and the team will have control of. So it's an odd mix.
You have faith, though. They do something smart. I don't give them that credit. I can see them taking on a bad contract, doing something silly.
I mean, that's what history would tell us.
Right. Yeah. And Cauley-Stein's a guy who he's kind of older than I guess I thought. I didn't realize he went to college for 3 years. He's 20. This is his age 25 season already. He's in a contract year. So if a team trades for him, they're basically trading for his restricted free agent rights. And it's like that team might lose him if there's another team. So unless some team is willing to like really just give Willie Cauley-Stein a big contract right out of the gate, then trading for him is kind of risky. So, but yeah, Bagley in the fold confuses things. I just don't know what they're going to do. You'd feel like they wouldn't want to lose him for nothing.
Yeah, I don't know what they want to do either.
So who do you got, Ken? Of those three, Kings, Spurs, Grizzlies.
No, I agree 100%. You just go with Popovich. Assume he figures it out, that they're going to gradually get better as the season progresses. Certainly, Jackson's upside is fantastic for the Grizzlies. But this year, I just assume they level off, hover around 500, and the Spurs just keep showing annoying gradual improvement. what do we got going on in Oklahoma?
So Paul George is questionable tonight against the Suns. It is a right quad injury. It would be his first missed game of the season. So if you're thinking about DFS, aside from potentially just leaning on Russell Westbrook more, do you feel like there are any value plays that you have any sort of confidence in? Is like Dennis Schroeder automatically become an option? Do we talk about like Jeremy Grant, Stephen Adams? Like what's kind of going on here if Paul George is out?
Yeah, I actually think I like Grant the most, and that's just because he's the cheapest of those options. I just feel like if Paul George misses time, Grant might get an extra three or four shots. So right. If he gets a little bit more usage on the offensive end, you know, we know he can rack up good defensive stats, grab some boards. So if he gets three or four more shots, that just means his ceiling's a little bit higher for tonight. I already like Adams for tonight either way. I think he's 6,800 on DraftKings. But Schroeder, you know, he's about 5,300. So he's a good play on DK as well if George misses time.
Right. And I'm just looking up right now what the fantasy stats kind of look like with Paul George off the court. I said he hadn't missed any time. Russell Westbrook per 36 minutes is at 59 fantasy points. Steven Adams is at 51. So that's interesting per 36 minutes. Nice. So that could be a very strong play. Dennis Schroeder's at 42 per 36 minutes. So I think all those guys are probably in play. Jeremy Grant's at 28, which he might get 36 minutes. So that could work out. Ken, there are, aside from Paul George, we have a few injuries that have just kind of lingered.
Yeah, a few to just make sure you know about. Kyle Lowry is going to be out tonight, missing his second game for the Raptors. Jeff Teague is out again. This is his sixth game out. And Nikola Mirotic is out yet again for the Pelicans against the Mavs. No fancy news there, but you should just know those gentlemen will be sitting. Am I missing any other big injuries, guys?
I think those are the big ones. For Kyle Lowry, how do you guys feel about Fred VanVleet? Because I know he had a big game last week. After we discussed him, he had a big game from a DFS standpoint while Lowry sat. But the most recent game was a complete dud. And I feel like we've seen this a lot from Fred VanVleet. So are you guys comfortable using him tonight on DFS with Lowry out? Or are you worried that he's going to put up another 21 fantasy points in 38 minutes?
Well, Orlando's a slow pace. That's probably worries me the most. But Alex, I cut you off. What were you going to say, sir?
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, he just played Miami, tough defensive team. I think I would play VanVleet. I mean, his price is only 5,600. His floor seems to be 21, 22. So you do get the 35 to 40-ish upside, and your floor doesn't really seem to be any lower than 20. So at 5,600, I think you can play him, but there might be stronger options at the price.
Yeah, he's at 35.6 fantasy points per game with Kyle Lowry out. I don't know. I just feel like I got burned by him earlier this week with Lowry out, so I'm hesitant to plug him in. 5,600 tonight on DraftKings, I just feel like there's tons of values. You have like Justice Winslow, Lonzo Ball, all within that same range. And those are two guys I prefer over Fred VanVleet.
Right. Well, if you are going to play on DraftKings, that's great because RotoWire has partnered up with DraftKings. We hand out 6-month memberships for free to RotoWire. You just go to rotowire.com/DraftKings. You sign up for a new account there and make a $10 deposit or more. That'll give you 6 month access to all tools and sports on rotowire.com, so not just basketball. You'll get DFS lineup optimizers, weekly rankings, premium articles, full season draft software, a lot more just for the $10. Then you can take that $10, enter it into more contests to potentially win more money, which is great. So all you have to do is go to rotowire.com/DraftKings and follow the instructions.
That's a consensus thing. Like, more money is great.
Right.
Everyone believes that.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there. I feel like sometimes people forget that it's $10, and then you can throw that into DFS and play Lonzo Ball and win a lot of money.
More money. There you go. Disclaimer. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Do DraftKings users only. See DraftKings.com for details.
So there are a lot of interesting guys on the waiver wire right now. Injuries have opened up time for some guys I guess we probably weren't expecting to play as well as they have been. So we're covering some interesting free agents for a bit here. I'm going to kick things off. Maybe not the hottest name right now, but I think Mikal Bridges is only 17% owned in Yahoo, which is too low. Like I said, it's not like the newest, sexiest name out there, but he's 78th ranked over the past 14 days. He's getting 35 minutes a game. That's one of the top marks. He's one of the top marks in minutes played for rookies all year. He's getting two steals and a block over that stretch. He's not a volume shooter by any means, but I think he might be better than Josh Jackson, and he's playing more minutes than Josh Jackson. And I think
you're going on a limb there. Josh Jackson.
Okay. Exactly. But it was one of those things. It's like when they drafted him and you look at their college pedigree, you're like, why, you know, you would assume Mikal Bridges would be better than Josh Jackson. During his final season at Villanova last year, 44% from three. He's not doing that right now, but so I think he'll improve. So it would surprise me if he slipped below the top 100 for the rest of the year. I think this is a guy you could pick up, keep on your bench most of the time, but if the Suns are on a four-game week, I think you have to play him, so he should be on somebody's roster.
Yeah, I agree with that. With Ariza out of town now, with right. Devin Booker moving from the two to the one and playing a lot of minutes at the point guard, it does make a lot of sense that Bridges continues to see a heavy load. So he's like, I use this comparison a lot, but he's going to be like Shane Battier type value, where, you know, he's got threes, steals, blocks, probably will have better, you know, he'll finish the season with better percentages than he has now. He's not going to average 18 points per game. It's only going to be 10, 11, 12, you know, and only a hand, you know, four or five rebounds, but across stocks. The board.
Stocks.
Yeah, stocks.
And stocks.
Just across the board, solid production, which leads to top 100 value. I don't like him enough in like 10 team leagues to pick him up.
Right.
But yeah, deeper 12, 14 team leagues, he's definitely worthy of a roster spot.
So Ken, you have a point guard, well, I guess kind of a combo guard to talk about.
Well, maybe even a duller name than Bridges, Tyler Johnson, perennial free agent fodder. If Winslow's already gone in your league and you're thinking maybe the Winslow point guard experiment does not work out, this might be that classic 30-day maybe even 45-day run that Tyler Johnson always seems to have. Last six games, he's put up almost 16 points, three rebounds, and three made trays per game. You'll probably drop him before the season ends, but I like Tyler Johnson as a streaky six-week roster move. Only owned in 42% of leagues, so more available than Winslow.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys kind of in this range that we see every year who are kind of like top 120 players, and they fluctuate between like 80 and 150. And so they're the perfect guys. Like if you're in a 14 team league, for example, you keep them at the end of your bench. Like I said before, with Mikal Bridges, you get a guy in a 4-game week, you throw Johnson in there in a 4-game week, and he could have a top, you know, 60, you could have a top 60 week, just volume of games wise. And we can see him get hot.
I also think we should give him the nickname Jebediah because of that Amish beard thing he has.
It's Tyler
Jebediah
look.
Johnson.
Yeah, kind of look. He just stepped out of like he was just in the middle of doing some like ranch work for his family that's been doing ranch work for 300 years.
Female has told him, you know what? Keep the lower half of the beard. Just keep that part.
Right. He's just shooting hoops with like, a, you know, he's the hoops on the side of the barn. It's like dusty.
Right.
There's there's just sand in his eyes.
There's a lasso around for some reason. No one's quite sure why, but yeah.
Anything to add about Tyler Johnson, Shannon?
No, God, no. All right, I'm going to move on.
Shannon, please, who's your
please move on.
My first pickup's one of the most popular guys to scoop off waivers right now, and it's Zubac with the Lakers. He's 41% owned. He's really picked up the slack with JaVale McGee out. Over the past four games, you know, he's averaging double-digit points, grabbing a lot of rebounds, blocking shots. He's actually starting to get dropped in Yahoo leagues because he kind of had a dud last night against Sacramento. 6 points, 5 rebounds, 1 block. Only played 20 minutes. Three games prior to that, he played 30 or more minutes each time. I like Zubac still. I think that there's upside in 10, 12 team leagues. Probably not, just because once McGee gets back, it's unclear what the long-term play will be with Zubac. But if you're in a 14-team league or you're in a league where there's really nothing on the waiver wire, scoop up Zubac. It's worth a speculative ad in hopes that he continues to get minutes even after McGee returns.
Right, yeah, he's been kind of a revelation. Like, people were calling for him to get more playing time last year. He kind of has a cult following to some extent. Some great nicknames on Basketball Reference that I forgot about, including Zupac and Zuel Cinder. So those are great, but yeah, I mean,
only 21, that's pretty good for only 21 years old.
Exactly.
Names like that in your back pocket. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when McGee comes back, it is going to be interesting because he does provide a different skill set than both McGee and Tyson Chandler. He's kind of a post up big. He seems to have good chemistry with LeBron as far as being in the right spot for his passes, which was shocking initially to see how well they played together.
Every time I watch him play, I'm impressed. So I'm, like I said, it's a speculative play, because we don't know if he's going to continue to get minutes once the Lakers are healthy, but I'm picking him up because there's in my mind, when I watch him play, there's a good chance that he sticks as starting center long term for that team.
Also, you got Zuel Cinder, Zu Blaka. You could go on and on. Oh, fantastic.
I like it. All right, who's your second guy that you're picking up right now, Alex?
So I think we should talk about Justice Winslow. He signed a 3-year, $39 million contract extension with the Heat in October, and I think to a
lot surprising for a team with contract or with money issues to do that. By the way,
right? And he hadn't really proven too much up to that point. He was you know, this is his age 22 season. He had shown he could be a passer, great defender, stuff like that. But recently, he's kind of turned it up to another level with Goran Dragic out. Eric Spoelstra said, hey, we're going to play Justice Winslow at point guard now, and it's been working. So there was a stretch earlier in the year. It was 4 games, so solid sample size. I think it was also when Whiteside was out. 21 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, a combined 2.0 steals and blocks. And over the past 2 games, now Winslow has racked up 43 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, 6 threes, and 5 steals. I'm not saying he's going to keep averaging, you know, like 18 points a game, basically. But at the same time, I think he's done this enough now. He's in a good position. He's a 23rd ranked player over the past week. He's 52% owned in Yahoo. I think you just have to pick him up. I don't think he can be on your waiver wire, even in a 10 team league. Because the big knock on his game was, oh, he can't shoot. Well, he's at 39% this year. He shot 38% last year, and now he's running an offense. So the ceiling for him is very high this year. And even as a dynasty guy, moving forward, I think his value will be going up big time because of this.
Dragic's only played like 2 games in the past month.
Right.
Over that stretch, over those 30 days, Winslow is the 88th ranked player in 8-category leagues on Yahoo. He's played just under 30 minutes, shooting 47% from the floor, 62% from the line, which is probably his only negative mark.
Yes.
2.1 three-pointers, 14 points, 4.8 rebounds, 3.6 assists, and 1.2 steals. So that value right there in 8-category leagues, like basically between 80 and 100, a top 100 player, I think is sustainable until Dragic returns.
Right.
So I would absolutely pick him up even in 10-team leagues and keep him on my roster and be comfortable about it. I was actually foolish enough to drop him when Dragic returned for like that one game stint. And I was like, all right, well, Winslow's out. And it was right around the time like Trey Lyles, Millsap was ruled out. So I was like, all right, I'm going to snatch up Trey Lyles. And Winslow was the guy I dropped, and I've regretted it.
You've always liked Winslow.
Yeah,
always
I do. The Heat obviously do too. That's why they gave him that contract. I mean, there's still the pedigree's there. He's great on defense. There's reasons why they gave him that contract. There's reasons why the Boston Celtics wanted to trade 4 first rounders for Winslow. It's because he is a legit talent. Now it's just a matter of can he turn it into like a true franchise piece. From a production standpoint, and we're kind of seeing it. I mean, he's not like playing at an all-star level, but definitely good option for fantasy teams while Dragic is out.
Can you imagine Marcus Smart and Justice Winslow on the same team defensively?
Defensively, it'd
yeah. So Ken, you have another guy, I guess another combo guard for us, taking us to Denver.
Well, we've mentioned him a lot, so I don't know how much detail I need to go into, but again, Monte Morris is putting up wonderful point guard stats, even coming off the bench for the Nuggets. Last 9 games, over 14 points, 4.8 dimes, 1.8 steals, which are always hard to find, and over 2 made threes a game. Will Barton still not back, lingering a whole other week longer than expected. Greg Harris is still out until the 1st of January. Who knows how long either of those injuries might linger. So he's only 43% owned in Yahoo, which kind of surprises me. Anyway, Monte Morris, some very nice point guard stats available.
I just love that you drop in, Greg Harris, the hot dog vendor at the Pepsi Cola Center or wherever the Nuggets play. You're dropping updates about him. I appreciate that, Ken. I've got a question for you. With Morris, who I think we've talked about him quite a bit.
We all kind of
like him. What happens if Isaiah Thomas ever returns, which I don't know is going to be a thing, but would Morris see a dip in playing time? Because I don't think so. I think Morris has solidified his spot in the rotation.
I think so, too. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I was going to say, well, I was going to drop it. Isaiah Thomas had a tweet the other day. He's like, you drop some merchandise off at the arena, and I will sign it and get it back to you. And I was like, that's kind of a weird thing to just randomly
tweet. He just wanted everyone to know he was still
alive. I'm still here.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I got, yeah. I don't know if that bodes well, but I agree, I guess, in the sense that it would surprise me if Isaiah Thomas was like way more valuable than Monte Morris this season for the Nuggets. Do they need another, like, what they've needed is a real point guard, because Jamal Murray's not a real point guard.
Right.
Gary Harris, definitely not a point guard. Will Barton is the closest thing they have to a real like pseudo distributor.
Greg Harris is a rec league point guard. I can confirm that. Isaiah Thomas.
Gary, Greg,
Isaiah Thomas is owned in 40% of Yahoo leagues, which if you are one of the folks who own him, you better be in like an 18 team league. If you own him, you should be banned from fantasy leagues.
I think Alex's point though is the best. They desperately need an actual true distributing point guard. Nobody is that except for Morris on that squad. So I don't see how and Barton can get pretty selfish with the shot selection as well when he comes back. So I just think Morris keeps getting extended run there. And so someone owns him. Like, I'm thinking I might throw out a trade offer if they think it's a short term production for Morris, as I think it lasts all year.
That's a good call.
All right. Moving on. Hot pickup after a big game last night. Luke Kornet for the Knicks. He started in place of Enes Kanter. Played 34.
Out of the G League.
He's been getting run. He's gotten run in like 10 straight games and has hit a three-pointer in every single outing. Last night, 34 minutes.
And he's 8 foot. He's like 8 foot four, right? So you're not going to block that three-pointer.
At least 8 foot four. 34 minutes last night, 7 three-pointers, 23 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 block. He'll five assists will probably be his season high. Seven threes will probably be his season high too. But he is worth picking up in 12 and 14 team leagues in my estimation. Just purely due to the fact that he is starting at center for the Knicks now. Will that last? I cannot tell you. The Knicks rotation has been the most infuriating thing. Yeah, it's one of the three most infuriating things of the fantasy season. So the odds are it'll change up at some point. But if he's going to get 25 to 35 minutes a game as the starting center, he should be owned. So I'm picking him up in any leagues right now.
He is the young version of the new Brook Lopez. You know how Lopez just behind the arc, chucking threes for the Bucks. That's like Cornette's looking at him like, that could be me. I could do that. He's going to do that.
He reminds me of Ryan Anderson, like a young Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, skill. Yeah, Ryan Anderson won most improved one year, which is maybe one of the weirdest, like, small NBA Nuggets I can think of. Yeah, I mean,
he's too short, though. He's too short to be a Cornette comp.
Right.
Yeah, he's Anderson. Like, dude, Ryan Anderson's like 6'11". I mean, he's legit. Like, he might even be 7 foot. Ryan Anderson's effing gigantic.
He's got short arms, though, right? Is it a wingspan thing? Maybe that's what we're getting confused about, wingspan.
Cornette 7'1". Huge wingspan.
Cornette was undrafted 2 years ago out of Vanderbilt. He only shot 33% from three during his final year there. So very much an improved player in that front. But we kind of saw flashes last year. So when he played over 20 minutes per game last year, he averaged 15 and 6 with 1.6 assists and 1.6 blocks. And that's only over 20 minutes a game. So
Cornette is the classic, like, late second round invite to camp flyer because he's 7 foot. Just says, well, you can't teach 7 foot. Get him in there.
Seven foot with a smooth enough shot, good enough IQ to get five assists last night. And last season he had two games with four assists. So
he dragged a bad Vanderbilt team in the NCAA tournament. He was the go-to guy on that Vanderbilt squad for a couple of years. The upside, the possibility, he's sure as heck worth a flyer, as Shannon suggests.
Yeah, I mean, he went 8 for 17 last night. 11 of those 17 shots were three-pointers. So he's basically like a 7-foot version of Nick Stauskas. You know, that's the comp we're putting out there right now. But, you know, again, if he plays 30 minutes a game, if he holds on to that starting center position, I think he'll provide plenty of value. So I'm picking
Tuesdale's
it up.
Tuesdale's going to give him 5-6 starts, and then until you play him in DFS.
Right,
and
that's right. When he'll absolutely, absolutely.
I do like the nickname 7-foot Stauskas. I think that's a solid
7-foot
one.
7-foot Stauskas.
7-foot hot sauce. Or sauce, whatever.
Yeah, I like the alliteration.
Sauce Castillo.
Sauce Castillo.
I like the alliteration. Seven foot Stauskas. I can't even say his name. Oh, geez.
Speaking of another name you might not be able to say, there's a 20-year-old Latvian rookie in Brooklyn, Ken.
Rodions! Kuroks! I did think it was Corks, by the way. I looked at a Latvian site. In Latvia, they say Corks. But apparently the Nets announcers do say Kuroks. 7 straight starts with Alan Crabb out for the Nets. 2 straight double-doubles last few games. And he's had a block in each of his last 5 games. He's listed at 6'8 or 6'9, depending on what website you're looking at, but a very lengthy, skinny, lengthy game. In those 7 starts, he's put up 13 points, 6 boards, 1.4 assists, plus 1.4 stocks, with great percentages, shooting 53% from the field and 90% from the line. Shannon brings up an excellent point.
Yes.
If he does well, Shannon, what happens?
If this continues, we never, ever, 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 ever have to discuss Alan Crabb or Jared Dudley again.
87-year-old Jared Dudley still getting an NBA paycheck. Amazing. Yes. So lots of reasons to like Rodions.
Yeah. I am a believer after watching some of the highlights and stuff. We'll have to see how the rotation in New Jersey pans out once Crabb returns. But I have to imagine, I mean, the Nets are playing good right now. Kurucs looks really good. He watching the highlights, he kind of looks like somewhere in between a young Ilya Sova and Andrei Kirilenko. Like, he's got a little bit more athleticism than Ilya Sova. But he can hit threes, he can slam down a dunk, grabs rebounds, plays good defense. I really like what I see from him. And you know, on Yahoo, he's the most popular pickup right now. I think you should scoop him up. Again, 10 team leagues, you probably have too many good players on your roster. I don't know that you'll find, you know, most players we've talked about today, 10 team leagues, not a given, but 12 and 14 team leagues, you absolutely have to pick him up.
And he's a guy, I'm just looking at his shot chart right now. He's a guy who only shoots, he only does layups and threes.
Oh yeah.
There's no mid-range in his game.
God, that's beautiful.
He's only taken 29 shots from outside of 3 feet to the three-point line. Only 29 shots in that range. He has 53 at the rim and 45 from three. So he's a guy where if that keeps up.
James Harden.
Yeah, he's basically James Harden.
Friends. They're hanging out in Latvia together.
So that's
debating that. Beards.
Do you guys agree that he is the best pickup right now? Like, or would you rather go with Bridges, Winslow, some of the other guys we mentioned? You know, Kornet, Zubac, or is it Kurucs?
I love Kurucs' ability to possibly just keep the starting position and run with it through the end of the season. He's, you know, there's no future in Crabbe or Dudley, as you've repeatedly said. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're the Nets, yes, they'd love to make the playoffs this year, but still, they got to have an eye to the future. Play the heck out of the 20-year-old until he wavers, and he hasn't wavered yet.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Kurucs is definitely the most fun. I think I'm more confident in Winslow. But Winslow is higher owned. I mean, there's way less of a chance you're able to even consider Winslow for your fantasy team than Kurucs. So if we're taking Winslow out of the equation because he is over 50% owned in Yahoo leagues, then I think Kurucs is a fair play because he's getting, I mean, I've seen Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's minutes are down a little bit. I think Kenny Atkinson's trying to find ways to keep playing this guy
at least
25 minutes.
It seems like it. And he's already backed him, said that he is going to continue to be in the rotation after Crabbe returns. So if that means he continues to start, I have no idea. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, he's my hot pickup and the guy I recommend scooping for all the listeners.
So we're gonna keep the rookie discussion going. We are gonna kind of just quickly hit on our top three rookies to own in dynasty leagues over the next 3 years. I think there's going to be some consensus, at least on number one.
There's nothing but consensus. I think we all have the same three.
It does look that way. I think there's some, we can have a little discussion, but I think we kind of each have the same three, like Ken alluded to. Luka Doncic, at number one. He's the 40th ranked player right now. DeAndre Ayton at number two, 38th ranked player right now. He's notably playing really well lately. Jaren Jackson Jr. at three. He's a 71st ranked player. So, is there anybody else? I guess the question at this point is there's anybody else that you think can slide into the top three, maybe towards the end of this year or maybe next year? This changes.
Well, this was a question posed in one of our NBA roundtables a couple weeks ago. I'm throwing Ken under the bus. He picked SGA.
I was going to do the same. I was about to throw myself under the bus.
You're not the only one.
I mean,
just before Ayton caught fire.
Yeah.
I do love SGA's game. I love his length. I made the Sidney Moncrief comp. But Ayton just undeniably is going to get a gazillion shots over the next 3 years. They're going to play four out, one in with him for the foreseeable future. Just the usage rate is always going to be crazy. So
over the past 2 weeks, Ayton's a 15th ranked player in eight category leagues on Yahoo. He is averaging 20, 15, and 1.3 blocks. He is shooting 66% from the floor and 84% from the line. So even though you have guys like SGA has incredible ceiling, he'll give you production across numerous categories. The only worrisome part of his game for some is like his 3-point shot, but I actually think that's going to be fine in a couple of years. Ayton's elite percentages, elite scoring, elite rebounding. The only thing you can really question is his defensive stats, but those should improve as his game improves, as he matures as an NBA player. So yeah, he's only averaging right around one block per game this season, but he should easily average over 2.5 blocks and steals combined. 3 years from now.
You say 3 years, you're still including the second half of this season.
Yes.
And nobody's going to touch Ayton the second half of this season other than Doncic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those two are the clear top two, in my opinion. I understand Jaren Jackson Jr., why everyone loves him. I do as well. He's going to have incredible defensive stats as an NBA pro.
When he stops fouling out.
Yeah. Rebounding and scoring will be good. But just the combination of Ayton's percentages, too, it seems to be undervalued.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, Ayton's a guy who we saw him shoot threes in college. I don't think that's a priority right now. I think the priority is, getting him used to the NBA game, which he kind of seems like he already is. But it wouldn't surprise me if in year three he was taking maybe two threes a game, one to two threes a game. Like we say, he's a good free throw shooter. So he's got a nice shot. When he shoots from 16 feet, it looks smooth. That's a possibility.
His rookie season's going to be very comparable to like Karl Anthony Towns rookie season by the end of the year.
Can
you imagine what his stats would be when they get like a real point guard? Like how many just easy lobs and stuff, when they have a guy who can drive in the lane and dish it to Ayton,
I actually think Booker is going to be a real point guard.
He could turn into, I mean, I always think about his ceiling is basically James Harden as like he's essentially a shooting guard playing point guard. He can bully people this size. I don't think Booker has like that. Booker doesn't have like a go-to move yet. Harden's got the go-to step back. He does the rip through on the drives. Booker is still kind of like, he doesn't have that one go-to yet.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's still incredibly young.
One of the main comps that Booker has had is like Kobe Bryant. He's modeled his game after Kobe.
Right.
And even Kobe, I think, said a couple of years ago, like, who's the young player who could be the next Kobe Bryant? And I believe he said Booker. Maybe I might be making that up. Whatever.
Kobe says a lot of things.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. But I mean, which point guards did ever played with Kobe Bryant? Did the Lakers need a point guard when they had Kobe? No, they had bum ass Derek Fisher or whoever. It didn't matter. So I don't think the Suns need a point guard. But that's
is that officially a new nickname?
Bum ass.
We had bum ass.
Yeah. That's fine.
He's a new coach of the Sparks, right? Los Angeles Sparks. WNBA.
And they didn't interview anyone else. It's just absurd. It's actually the dumbest hire. Bum ass.
All right. So we have a consensus. We have a top three. But who's number four? Let's talk about number four, number five. Is it SGA? Is he the fourth one? Are we going to say it's not Wendell Carter Jr.? It's not Mo Bamba. It's not Trae Young.
I'm going to throw a crazy name out there. Okay. We talked about him way too much last week, though, so we don't have to discuss it. But Robert Williams, Big Al is starting to show some wear and tear for the Celtics. Robert Williams could turn into the Clint Capella of the Celtics in 2 years from now.
Yeah, I mean,
Al Horford doesn't surpass SGA, but
I don't know how long. I mean, do you think Al Horford? You're kind of our Celtics insider, Ken. How do you feel? How do you think the Celtics feel about keeping Horford past this contract?
I think they're gonna have a lot of injury evidence. Unfortunately, I'm really worried about his knee. He looked terrible last night against the Rockets. Yeah, they showed him on his stomach. Yeah, he's on his stomach for like the whole third quarter while they're stretching him out. I'm sure I'm overreacting to the current injury, but my fear is just, what if Horford ages badly? They desperately could have used Williams' rim protection. They had no rim protection last year. Williams is the only rim protector this year. It's a real shame that Williams has a sore leg because with Aaron Baines out, there are crazy minutes to be had. I think Tice played 23 or 25 last night and getting clobbered. I wish we could see Robert Williams getting a ton of minutes right now. Clint Capella. He's very Clint Capella-like without the odd tuft of gold hair.
Al Horford has a player option for $30 million next year, which he obviously will opt into. But Al Horford also seems like the player, like, one, Danny Ainge isn't dumb enough. He's not going to sign him to $30 million a year beyond next season. It's not going to happen. But Al Horford, to me, seems like the type of player who's going to end his career. One, he seems like he's fiercely loyal. And that he would also play.
He'll sign a team friendly deal. Yes, exactly.
So I could easily see him signing a deal to play, you know, for $8 to $10 million a year for the final two or three seasons of his career.
I totally
see that. And if it's with Boston because they have enough other pieces around him, that would not surprise me. So I think there's a good chance Al Horford stays. If he doesn't stay in Boston, he's going to go play for some other team that's a contender and probably sign with them at discount. That seems like the course, the trajectory for his career.
Yeah. I don't see him at old age demanding he starts though either. Like I can see him signing a sweetheart deal coming off the bench.
He's the next David West. He's going to end his career very similar to the way David West did.
Oh, I hope less movement, but yeah, I think you're right.
I guess a swing back into the rookie, not that that wasn't an important discussion. I should have known better than to be like, Ken, take the floor on the Celtics topic.
So true. Well, of course I bring up Al Horford during the top rookie. That makes perfect sense.
Right. I think we probably should. I'm going to mention Marvin Bagley. I wasn't the strongest supporter of his game coming out of college. But he has been, when he's at center and Willie Cauley-Stein is out of the picture, Marvin Bagley has been a very good fantasy player. When he's seen more than 30 minutes a game on four occasions, averaging 19 and 10 with two blocks in those games, shooting 60% from the field. I think we have to talk about him in consideration over Jaren Jackson for the next 3 years, not because I think he'll be better than Jaren Jackson. I mean, it's possible. He's interesting.
I don't have faith in the Kings doing the right things to develop him. They're just a terrible organization. They will find a way to screw it up. And I one caution on Bagley's numbers there. That's usually against the backup centers, not the starters. Fair enough. I don't want to get crazy about the bet, but I don't trust the Kings actually. That's why mostly my main knock.
It is pretty crazy that he's basically just a forgotten man because, I mean, if you look at, he was the number two pick of the draft. if you look at it from like an athletic standpoint, you know, physical gifts, like he's right up there. You could argue he's the most physically talented of anyone in this draft. So it is pretty amazing. I think he's in the discussion. I would not put him ahead of Jaren Jackson. You know, we've seen a lot from he has done much better than I thought he would in limited action with the Kings. Mm-hmm. And I hope they give him a chance. I hope they just go ahead and part ways with Willie Cauley-Stein and give Bagley full reign of that center position. But we'll see. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen this year. But yeah, I mean, there's a ton of dudes, right? You've got Carter Jr.
Wasn't there rumors of them firing Jaeger because he wasn't playing Bagley? And he's like, we're winning for the first time. Why would I mess with this?
There was a lot of, there's just a lot of tension between him and the assistant general manager who Jaeger at one point threw the assistant general manager out of practice. There was some talks about you're leaking stuff to the press. No, you know, screw you, stuff like that. It's been kind of a little contentious there in Sacramento. I mean, Bagley's 19. That's also important to mention when we're talking about dynasty stuff, but not to cut you off, Shannon. You're saying there are other guys from this draft.
Yeah, I mean Trae Young is in the discussion. Wendell Carter Jr. has looked really good for Chicago. He's only seen limited minutes, dealing with foul trouble, but like overall, he looks like a very good piece for them moving forward. There's got to be a couple other dudes that I'm forgetting.
I mean, even Kevin Herter's playing well. I mean, there's a guy who kind of came out of nowhere, but it's like you can see how that might be a guy who could be a, you know, like a Joe Harris top 120-ish player, you know, perennially.
It's a crazy deep draft class. Lots of really good fantasy. I mean, you could have a good dozen fantasy impactful players, long-term impact players from this draft class. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I do think the top two are solidified. And even when you go three with Jaren Jackson and then four through seven could all be just perennial top 50 fantasy options.
This draft does have the potential to be like pretty stacked. I mean, we brushed by Colin Sexton, but he clearly has upside. We talked about Mikal Bridges earlier. Kevin Knox has been playing really well lately, although his shooting percentage hasn't been great, but you can see there what he can do. We have Miles Bridges. We have Bamba. Mitchell Robinson for the Knicks is even making noise. Like Karuks.
Karuks! Like,
you know what I hate about Knox, though? All those minutes Fizdale gave him for like a 5-6 run. Again, another experimental moves by Fizdale. He gets like zero steals or blocks. He does not have active hands. Yeah. No assist either. Yeah, just... It's just tip-ins and rebounds. Like it's
well, they're giving him free rein to shoot the ball. I mean, he has a green light, and he's been shooting, you know, at garbage without abandon.
Yeah.
So I actually think that's really promising. Like it's been nice to see. You know, last night he was 4-for-15, but the fact is,
I'm looking at his shot chart right now.
He's scared of that left side of the key.
He's literally never taken a shot from like the left key, like from the free throw line down, not a single shot in the mid-range area. It's very weird.
He has taken over 15 or more shots in the past 9 games, 15 or more shots each game. He has 25 in one outing, 20 in another. Like it's pretty clear that they're comfortable letting him just fire away. And he's got a 3-point stroke. He's hitting those. He was 1-for-6 last night, 1-for-5 the night before, but he was hitting, averaging 3 per game the 7 games before that. So he's hitting threes. I like Knox a lot, and I hear you, Ken. He's not picking up his defensive stats yet. You know, even his rebounds are decent, not great, not really getting assists, but he's not asking to. They're not asking him to do that right now.
Right, and I think, I mean, he's another guy. We talked about Bagley being 19. Kevin Knox is 19. But only 139 days of being 19. I mean, he's incredibly young, and coming out of the draft, he was kind of the alternative to taking Michael Porter Jr. They're very similar players. They're shoot first guys. They're like 6'10", 6'9". And I think the Knicks fans boo. They probably did because I think they wanted Porter Jr.
Porter Jr. We didn't even player we haven't talked about.
Yeah,
obviously we need to see him play in the NBA first, but. Man, this draft class is stacked. It's going to be a lot of fun for dynasty leagues moving forward. All right, we are dragging. We need to move on.
Yeah,
let's do our DraftKings DFS picks.
We can do some quick hits
and wrap this up. I'll start it off. I've got Zach LaVine at 6,500. That has to be like the lowest he's been since the first week of the season. Maybe the lowest he's been all year. 6,500. You have to, at that price point, you have to play him. He went off in his first game back from injury and he still went down in price. It makes no sense. So give me Zach LaVine and give me Karuks at 5,200.
Karuks.
Both good calls there. I think maybe the DraftKings price setters are worried about Chris Dunn's presence and that potentially hurting LaVine's assist numbers. I don't know. Yeah, I think I agree though. 6,500. Yeah.
Yeah, it is going to hurt his assist numbers, but he had 34 fantasy points his first game back from injury. He's playing a horrible Washington team, which has to be one of the highest over-unders of the night. I haven't even checked, but whenever it's got WAS in the two two teams, I know it's one of the highest over-unders.
It is 20. Oh, actually, 216 and a half.
Oh, that's not too high.
Not that high.
Playable. definitely playable. Not like 205 playable. Or anything.
There's some serious lack of depth.
Yes.
On the Wizards. That's true. Bullets. Still always want to say bullet. I apologize about that.
No, it's fine. They went back to the Bullets jerseys. It makes sense that you're initially. So I guess the two guys I just want to touch on quickly, Derrick Rose, Jeff Teague's out again. We talked about that at the top of the show. 7,100 is a little pricey. Just it's not my favorite, but we know he can go for 40, you know, plus fantasy points. He's going against a bad Atlanta team. I don't think Trae Young can guard Derrick Rose. I'll say it. But Lonzo Ball also in contention at 5,900. He almost went for 10 times value last night against the Clippers. 57.75 DraftKings points. I think you are safe if you play Ball, Ingram, and Kuzma because the chances that they hit value, exceed 5 times value as a group is incredibly high. I don't know what other 3 players you could pick on this slate that I would have more confidence in than those 3 as a group going about 5 times value.
I'm still going to point out, this will be my only DFS point out, but Josh Hart, 4,200. Starting 30 plus minutes, almost guaranteed. So I'm going to throw Josh Hart out there as well.
I don't know what Lance Stevenson's price is, but he had 19 fantasy points. If he's like, you know, if he's 3,000 or 3,500, I think that's also a consideration. We know he loves to handle the ball. So
4,400.
Ooh.
We'll pass.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a fan of that.
Caldwell Pope is 3,800.
I would consider it at 3,800. You figure, yeah, he's another guy. Yeah. If he catches it, he'll shoot it. So he's always liable to have a 15-point game out of nowhere and get you like six or seven times value. But Ken, I see, you know, you also like Kuzma and Ball. Are you not as high on Ingram necessarily?
I'm not as high as Ingram. I just, you know what? I'm just not a fan. I'm not crazy about his game. I want him to gain 20 pounds and give me a call.
You just hate that he's buckets, like pure buckets, his entire game. All he does is make buckets, man.
He didn't step up after a lot of talk in that Kings game. I mean, he had a fine 22 and three boards, but I don't know. I'm a Kuzma fan. I've been a Kuzma fan since the day they dropped.
He scored 33 points last night. He's averaging...
No, 19. Ingram. You're talking fantasy points.
No,
sorry.
Kuzma. Kuzma scored 33.
I love Kuzma. I don't like Ingram. I always take on Ingram.
You're out on Ingram? Okay. Well,
yes.
My argument there is...
Kuzma does not need to gain 20 pounds.
Ingram's per 36 stats with LeBron off the floor this year are insane.
I know.
So... I like them all. I like them all. We can roll with any of those Lakers who are playing. Anyone in their top five, six, seven of the rotation tonight is worth a look.
But you do have two guys you want to tell us about, Ken.
Nah, I would just say we're talking no depth on Washington. So Trevor Ariza at 5,600.
Yep.
Rembrandt Porter's still out. He's had 33 fantasy points averaged over his last 10. And then Westbrook is just, to me, the chalk play you got to consider with George possibly missing that game and Phoenix kind of being a sieve to point guards.
Yeah, Ariza is a perfect. I think you can play Ariza in almost any, like you put cash tournament. He's at like a great price to fit in any lineup. Yeah, if you could go Westbrook, Josh Hart combo, if you're trying to save money there. I think you have a lot of options tonight. But to talk about something, I guess not as hopeful. Ken, I can sense that you have your anger. I can feel it in your voice.
It's time for the old man rant. And my old man rant is about even older people shopping online. So we hosted a lot of relatives for Christmas. One particular gifter, there are four packages on my dining room table that I have to ship and return for this person because she doesn't know how to use the interwebs. So my son said he needed a replacement wheels for his skateboard. He's made his own longboard, but he needed new wheels. He wore it. So this person bought four sets of four wheels. So we have 16 wheels. I got to return eight of them. She didn't notice they came in sets. She's like, oh, those wheels are expensive. Well, yeah, you know, when you buy four times more than you need, they do get a little pricey. She got me a small sweater. Do I even sound like a small?
You just got that like 100 and you got that like 200 pound voice.
Right, exactly. 215. Thank you very little. Yeah, sure. Exactly. Just a fat ass, and you're getting a small for this thing. She got a small slipper for somebody that I have to return. I got a green. This is an old person rabbit hole. She got me a pair of green rubber gardening shoes, and what's sad is I already own a pair of those. How old are you when you own multiple pairs of rubber gardening shoes?
I don't have an answer. I didn't even know rubber gardening shoes are really a thing. Yeah, that's above my pay grade.
Exactly. That's my point. Anyway, I gave her a link to a butcher smoke shop in the area. I'm like, just order me meat. I just want meat in the future. Just send me bacon. And for all bad gift givers out there, when you know you're going to screw up size or you're going to screw up the numbers, just send people food. Everyone needs food.
Clothes are a huge no-no. Like, no one, I've been telling my parents for at least 20 years, don't buy me clothes.
What about socks?
Socks are okay.
Okay.
Socks I love.
Yeah, socks.
Love socks.
But clothes,
socks,
best. I haven't worn a small, like, sweater or t-shirt since I was, like, six. Like, I was in a male's small then. Like, who the hell wears a small? You have to be, like, a buck 45.
Children.
5 foot nine.
Children.
Yeah. God,
kids.
It's amazing.
Trae Young, or a size small.
Trae
Young. I don't think we can go a single podcast without me like trying to. I need to cut that out. Throwing Trey Young under the bus every single podcast.
Let's cut to my mispronounced names.
Yeah, we
Garrett Harris, Greg we, Harris. That was
Shannon already gave you plenty of flack for Greg Harris, the most generic man in the world.
I didn't mispronounce it. I just got it wrong. It's just, you know, I mixed up my G names there. Sorry. No, my apologies to that.
It can happen.
Well, I mean, Greg A. Harris is a former pitcher in the Major League Baseball. 15-year career, Harris pitched in 703 games, starting 98. He pitched for the Padres in the 1984 World Series when they lost to the Detroit Tigers in five games.
We finished off last week's podcast with baseball, Trey Turner.
Yeah.
So I think at this point, traditions, we get mad at Trey Young for no reason, and we end every podcast with a baseball fact.
Some Amish jokes. There's usually some Amish jokes.
we're only like halfway through the season. We still have plenty of more downtime to go through. I think before we ramble anymore about who or who may not have played basketball in a barn growing up, we are going to call it quits. This has been the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast presented by DraftKings. Ken, you do have one more thing you'd like to say, though.
Well, for today's outgoing quote, let's go to Denver, where injuries forced the Nuggets about 2 weeks ago to sign Nick Young. Like 10 days ago. He's been with them for six games, got one DNP. Anyway, last year when he signed with the Golden State Warriors, he said, "I'm like the brother that just got out of the pen." Attention, passengers. This three-car fantasy train wreck has hit the end of the line.